Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage: it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein, how you doing?
Okay, on this bright, sunny, warmer day.
Yeah.
But I found something to complain about.
Yeah, it's too windy.
The wind.
Well, then you always
you can't get
something.
Everything, that's for sure. Yeah. And if I don't have something to complain about, my life is not complete. But
there
anyway, right now it is January 20th, 2018. As we roll along, before you know it, it'll be Christmas again. You know?
Yeah, maybe the government will reopen by then.
Well, who cares?
All right.
But anyway, it is 10:05 in the morning, and the reason we say that is because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM, at midnight, unless there's a sporting event. And then the show will be on after the sporting event. You can also catch the show every Saturday morning from 10 to 11, live streaming. If you go to our website, sapriston.com, that's SAPERSTON.com. Most devices that connect to the internet can pick up the show live streaming. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived. So if you miss a show, you want to replay a show, the shows are there. And then finally, last but not least, bright and early every Saturday morning or Friday night.
Yes, Friday night we have our economic report. Kind of boring today.
Boring? Well, yeah. don't bother reading it. But anyway, it's
no, you can look at it. But
Stone and McCarthy, economists, and they kind of cover the things they think were important for economic facts for the previous week.
Right, but they also talk about a lot of the economic indicators, but they're trying to put some lipstick on a pig. So it's just
okay.
My opinion.
Your opinion.
Yes.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
I have
right now. Call with your opinion. Phone lines are wide open. Give us a call bright and early. Very easy to get in. I think the last 2 weeks in a row, we left one caller on the line, and we hate to do that. So give
us a
call
early.
I can't do anything about it when there's only a minute left in the show. There's nothing I can do about it. So right now, give us a call. Phone lines are wide open, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. That's 803-1520, or toll-free, 800-879-7541. And right now we're going to go to Tom in Tonawanda. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Tom. North Tonawanda it is, NT,
North,
not just Tonawanda.
North Tonawanda, yeah.
Right, North Tonawanda.
There you go.
Not wearing my glasses. I can't see very
today,
well.
David?
Yes, good morning.
Who's your associate today, David?
Yes.
David, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have to get on before those dreamers come on.
Well, hey, the dreamer sometimes makes a lot of money. You never know.
On paper.
On paper. Well, no, not really.
Well, now he's into the Bitcoin.
I don't think so.
Okay, I've only got one stock. I'll give you a stock.
Okay.
It's BUFF.
BUFF, huh? Okay. Let's see. Blue Buffalo Pet Products. Very interesting.
Yeah, heard of them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Boy, is that nice. Hope you own it.
Yes, I picked that up.
Yeah, because, it's been a beautiful chart, had a base a couple years ago, then went up, consolidated, broke out. Oh, it looks like it broke out in December,
mm-hmm.
And then now it just gave another reiterated buy signal when it hit, it looks like 31. And price target on the chart is 44.
Well, close to 33.68.
Yeah, so that looks very, very good here right now. Like it, and let's see. Just want to look at one other thing on a different chart.
Interesting, while you're looking, Deutsche Bank and J.P. Morgan in December downgraded it.
Just right when it broke out, right?
Yeah. So that shows you what
that's why you don't pay attention to half of those things that are going on.
So I don't read none of those charts.
There you go.
No, look, it looks very strong in here, really. And I just want to see if that's a reasonable price target. It went from 25 up to, say, 33.8, and you add 8 points to that. I'd say at least 38, minimum target of 38. It looks reasonable.
Okay, very good, very good. And
probably I might not get concerned unless it dropped under, where to close at right now?
33.68.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean right now to 50 days at 31, so I would say under 31 that I might get concerned.
Well, everybody I see is walking a dog, so I figured...
Oh, yeah, you're probably okay. If you're going to be in this, if you're a long-term investor, the 200 days back at 26, I don't know what price you paid for it, right now, looks very solid, and at a minimum, I'd reevaluate it under 31, maybe,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they have great products, too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you so much.
I appreciate the call. Dan. Thanks for calling bright and early. We appreciate it.
Oh, makes Peter's day.
Somebody's got to get us going.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good weekend. Okay, right now, phone lines are again wide open. 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. So give us a call while it's very easy to get in. Be nice if we had some new callers, too, change.
Well, why don't we offer a prize?
Willard used to do that. I can't offer anything unless he's here, I forgot. He has all these books down the basement that he gives out,
No, not in the basement. In the
the conference
archives.
Room. I call it down in the basement.
Archives.
They're oldies but goodies. But anyway, phone number is 803-1520, toll free 800-879-7541. And, remember I said, several weeks ago facetiously, this market's never going to go down, And who knows?
Well, I don't know. I'm looking at the 10 and 30 year treasuries. Mm-hmm. Just interesting. A year ago, the 10 year was 247 and 305 on the 30. And now the 10 year is 266 and 293 on the 30. So we're getting closer to that flat yield curve, which everybody talks about.
Yeah, which is irrelevant.
No, but it is very. It might be irrelevant.
Everybody
to
keeps
you,
talking about it.
I know, but it's just interesting.
History has proven that it's a very poor indicator.
Right, but it's something that they all talk about.
They all talk about it. Right. And as I said before, it's only when interest rates rise rapidly that you have a problem. It's been so gradual that nobody really cares.
Right. Well, there's no inflation.
Yeah. I've heard people. I thought maybe 2.6%. You're up there. In that range right now. Some people are saying 2.75. Some people are saying
3.
Well, you really only have a problem if it gets above 3. Then the bull market in the bond market's over, or it could be over if it get above 3%. Who knows? It really comes down to it. Meanwhile, the averages keep hitting new highs. Right now, I think the Dow is up, 5.47% for the year?
Mm-hmm.
NASDAQ is up, 6%, something like that, 6.27%. S&P's up 5.11, and the Russell 2000's kind of lagging behind.
Right, but we've seen home building numbers fall, and they'll say the weather, which is possible, but it could be higher interest rates.
You keep looking at all of these things. All that matters is price. The market is telling you it wants to go up, you know, bottom line.
Well, unlike you, I look at everything.
Yeah, well, if you look at everything, you drive yourself nuts, you know, yeah. And unless you're good at it. You know, there may be some people that can interpret the news or interpret what they're reading and make a good decision. I don't know very many people that can do that.
I'd rather be lucky.
Even the I would too. You know, as I said, no. And unfortunately, I'm not one of those lucky people.
I want to find out. I want to figure out.
I'd
Bitcoin.
Hate to tell the people all the unlucky things that happened to me.
Right.
You know, but
well, you caused you caused most of
song?
Them. So no, but I'd like to figure out Bitcoin. That's what I'm trying. I just can't get my head around it.
Well,
we used to say.
I don't have to figure, but it's around, you know, there's cryptocurrencies, and I forget how many thousands now of different cryptocurrencies there are, you know.
I heard there was a seminar. Uh-huh. It must have been one of our sister stations, must have been WBN. I think it was yesterday, advertising a seminar or some type of thing where, yeah, we'll show you how to do this. We put $100,000 and made $2 million in mm-hmm. just one day or something like that.
Well, like I say, I mean, I happen to watch a webinar matter of fact, the two hottest areas are Bitcoins and marijuana stocks, you know, and, I was watching a webinar on marijuana stocks. I told you before, and a $200 investment went to $1 million, you know, on a marijuana stock, you know. So, you know, speculation. But hey, if you lost $200, would that matter? No. I mean, you don't like to lose $200, but
yeah. But knowing you, you would have been out at $400.
Well, I would have been out at $250. No.
Me too.
Who knows? You know, when it really comes down to it. But you know, awesome. You know, look at we had the government shutdown. Did the market care? No. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't. You mentioned that, and I look at the pre-market trading. Mm-hmm. I was doing a little work here, but yeah, it looks like the Dow Jones is down about 4, but you got the S&P up 1.25. You got the Nasdaq up 4. The Russell's up about a point, you know. So you're right. They don't, you know.
Yeah,
More efficient when it shut down. Saves us money, I guess.
Yeah. Well, no. I think that, you know, something that nobody anticipates could eventually hurt this market, and it's nothing that you're reading about, and people
right.
are telling
Correct.
You about, and
Correct.
So forth. You know, it'd have to be a total surprise, you know, that something comes out all of a sudden,
yeah.
you know. And that. Not saying obviously the market could have a correction. I think the market's supposedly one day short of a record of not having a 5% correction or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and that kind of surprises me in a way because I thought last year January we had a 10% correction during January.
I heard a couple of people discussing that yesterday.
Yeah,
also,
they
were debating whether there was something. And I don't know if they're talking about close to close, intraday high to intraday
depends
low.
Depends how you measure things.
Right, exactly.
And that's what I always tell people. I was watching a seminar and a guy who does big cycles. He's been around for 40 years or something like that. You know. And he was saying that people are all excited about this market move, but they said it's one of the slower rising markets of any.
Hmm.
All right.
Really?
I forget where on his curve. But once again, it's how he measured bull markets and
that type
of thing. You know?
Well, over a period of time.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we've seen
exactly.
it rapidly. But
the ranking of it, of these kind of moves, was one of the lowest.
Right.
In terms of.
He was probably using percentages too.
Yeah, it could be. It
right.
could be the percentages,
right.
whatever. You know, as much as this market, you know, seems to have gone up, it hasn't been a rapid rise in the
market.
It's because
volatility is so low.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just steady, gradual right. rise in the market.
I think people are complacent.
Well,
possibly?
Could be.
Fat
Some
and happy?
Some are complacent, but I think there's a lot of people that missed this market for many years, you know, been sitting there frightened to death, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Was you? Who was the one who was telling me that millennials are big savers? They're afraid of having to go through what
it's probably
their
somebody very brilliant.
Through.
Yes, yeah. It was me.
Was
yes.
that you? Yeah, there
mm-hmm.
you go. Yeah, and you know, so there's a lot of people
they've
that
seen what their parents went
right,
through
yeah, exactly.
in 7, 8, 9.
Yeah,
and, yeah,
exactly. You know, so and you know, maybe when the millennials get all excited and start pushing their money in the market, that'll be the end. I
yeah,
don't know. You know,
my mother's a depression area. Depression baby. I mean, she's 93, God bless her, and a penny is a penny to her. I mean, she's tight as there comes, you know. So growing up as an Italian, a daughter of Italian immigrants in Boston, it was tough.
Yeah.
And you never get out of that. You know?
Yeah, I remember Howard Ewart, who used to do webinars.
Yes.
He was a depression person. Boy, he would not spend a dime.
Yeah. You know,
he was
worried about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, matter of fact, he didn't even want to keep his money in banks after the banks failed. You know.
Sure.
During that
time,
I
still have a couple of clients that are very wary. Some I have some even older, not younger than myself, but not as old as you know, older than my, that. Just they don't trust the banks, they don't trust the government, they don't like talking about things on cell phones. And hey,
yeah,
I feel their pain.
Each to his own.
Yes,
that's all I can say. Right now, as you can tell, phone lines are wide open. 803-1520, toll free 800-879-7541. We're going to go next to David in Fort Myers. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I got a little question here about your point and figure charts.
Mm-hmm.
When you have stocks like Visa and MasterCard that have made such dramatic moves, where can you look for a support level without going back that far?
Well, let me
Visa.
That's what I was going to do. Go call Visa.
Mm-hmm. It's
Visa. One of these days.
122.70 on the close. Very nice.
Yeah, you see, to me, you know, I don't get that excited. I mean, in terms of people say they call this a long stem up, right? And if you look at the point and figure chart, it's come up from what, 94 straight up to 122.
Right, 96.
And it means that all that means is on the way up, it hasn't pulled back 6 points, you know, in the whole time. So it hasn't had a 5% correction. You know, which the market hasn't had, you know. And, you know, I look at the period, this is, so it means since about, what, June or July, it hasn't had a 5% correction, right? So what you could do is you can change the box size on the chart, okay? And I know Willard does that a lot. And, for example, you can change it. Right now, they use a 2-point, right?
Right.
So if you change it to a 1-point box chart, right, then it's going to pick up 3-point corrections on the way up. And if you did that, which I just fouled up totally, but anyway.
Operator error.
Yeah, I know. I'd tell Willard, I get it. Operator error. But let's go to a 1-point chart, okay? So if you go to a 1-point chart on Visa. All right, that looks a bit different, and it would say that the support level would be 107.
There's your answer.
That's one way of doing it, okay? Now, that might be too far back for you. I don't know. You know, in other words, what's that, about a 12% correction or something like that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I normally do is I'll go to a bar chart then, okay? And I take a look at the bar chart, okay? And I can use all sorts of possibilities, you know. There's plenty of possibilities. I can look for a recent support level, which would be right around, in the 111 area, 111, 112. Or I can look at the 50-day moving average, all right, and say I'll use that as a possible stop area around 113.81.
So they're about the same.
So I would say, you know, I would be.
You're saying I should change. I should use various different things. Don't just go with the point and figure.
Well, when you can't get something clear from the point and figure, then go to a bar chart, okay? Or else change the scale on the point and figure chart.
Right.
So that gives you another look at it, you know.
Right, and it's similar. Well, MasterCard has got a little pullback. Where it hit its supposed
it's a different chart. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I look, what is the symbol on
M-A.
That?
M-A.
M-A, right. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. M-A. So if I looked at the standard point and figure chart, you know, you would say, oh, it's all the way back at 142 or so, right? And if I change that to a 1-point bar chart, it would be, let's see. Be more right around 150, all right?
Yeah.
And then if I use the line chart, you know, on it. So then you could decide. You have to decide for yourself what risk you want to take. You know, so if I use the line chart, the 50 days at 152, you know, so I would say somewhere in that 150, 152 area. You know,
right, right. Well, the objective was 146, so that's where it broke out of.
Exactly.
It broke out above that.
Exactly.
So they're looking for it to possibly come back.
Yeah, so that's the general idea. So if you have one chart and you say, hey, this thing's saying supports way more than I want to risk, then you have to pick another point and use one of the other ways. Yep.
Okay.
Well, by the way, how's the weather down there?
Well, it was a little, down here they consider it chilly. You know, I mean, it's 65 yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
probably isn't windy there, is it, Pete?
Yeah. Hey. That's how it goes. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well,
thank you very much for calling. Have a nice weekend. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay.
Right now, phone lines wide open, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. Give us a call. Still easy to get in right now, so don't wait until the end of the show. Right now, we're going to go to Ray in Williamsville. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
Very well, thank you. But, you know, the thing is, with these cryptocurrencies, they don't sell. I've tried. I've called your company in reference to a couple I was looking at. Not that I would even buy them, but just I enjoy looking at them. But they're not on any exchanges. One of them is Stellar Lumens, S-T-E-L-L-A-R, one word, L-U-M-E-N-S. They signed a contract with IBM, and it's selling for pennies.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. And also, I was looking for Bitcoin Investment Trust, and as far as I know, they don't sell on any of our stock exchanges. I was wondering, where do they sell if I was interested?
Well, I mean, there is a GBTC, okay?
Yeah, right, right.
Which sells on the exchange.
Over the counter?
Over the counter. And you know, our firm will not let you buy any cryptocurrency stocks, all right?
I see. Okay. But
it's not just our firm. It's who we clear through
It's not Saperston. I mean, it's Wells Fargo, right?
Yeah,
right,
that's pretty big.
Yeah, it's Wells Fargo. That's because they're a bank, and cryptocurrency supposedly can be used for money laundering, you know.
Right, right.
So
what do you mean can be?
Well, okay, whatever. So, yeah, but you know, there are other firms and so forth, or you know, TD Ameritrade or whatever, you can trade those on, you know. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, at our firm, you could have traded it up until about 2 or 3 weeks ago,
right?
Because we were looking at it on a Friday and it was able to trade. Somehow they caught up with it on Monday.
Yeah, the Stellar Lumens.
What were you trading?
No, I'm sorry. I wasn't trading. I'm just saying we were looking at the different Bitcoin investments, and somebody called about that one, GBTC, all right?
Probably me.
Well, I don't know, but on a Friday, I forgot which Friday, several weeks ago, we could have bought it, right?
Oh, I see. No, then
Monday we went and looked at it and said, no buying.
I see.
So it took them a little while to catch up with it, you know.
You could sell it if you
did. But all of these things can be bought someplace, all right? Yeah. You know, on an exchange, you know.
I don't know where.
Yeah, but how do you find out what exchange they're on? There's like the Stellar Lumens.
Well, I mean, what's the symbol on it?
XLM.
Oh, geez, I don't know. I just Googled it up, Stellar Lumens.
What is it?
XLM is what I'm looking at. It's about 50 cents.
Exact, probably right around that. That's
but I can't get a quote on it anywhere.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the exchange, does it?
No.
Well, let's see. What's this?
Are you getting anything, Peter?
No, not really. I don't see anything coming up on it there. Google it? Or?
Yeah, I'm doing that
now. I Googled it, and it came up.
As XLM?
Yeah. Correct.
That's weird.
There's a chart?
Because usually when it's an XLM...
It sounds like
a normal New York Stock Exchange, right, or American Stock Exchange, you know. So that's strange, because if it was over the counter, that wouldn't be the symbol, you know. If it was over the counter, I mean, I did find an XLM in Vancouver, but it's not that one. So
Okay. I mean,
most of them, if they're publicly traded someplace,
right,
you can find out where they're traded. You know.
Well, that's the trick. I can't, you know, I mean, I've Googled it up. I said, where is this XLM? Or it's called, the company's called Stellar Lumens. And I can't get the information on it. So I said, you know, then I thought about it. I said, well, I'll call up and I called your firm on it. They looked into it. So I figured, well, maybe I'll call Saturday and check
here
it out.
It says how to buy
Stellar,
or sell.
Stellar Lumen looks more like a Bitcoin, a currency, a cryptocurrency.
That's what he's
right,
talking about.
Right.
And the cryptocurrencies, you have to go to the cryptocurrency exchanges, okay, and sign up with them. Like, what's the one? Coinbase or something like that is one of them?
Your cryptocurrency. Yeah. I just Googled how to buy Stellar Lumens.
Right.
I don't remember what I – but it came up. What did I ask? Oh, where does Stellar Lumens trade?
Right.
And the first thing is under www.finder.com. It tells you about a cryptocurrency, and it gives you links to the cryptocurrency exchange or an exchange offering Stellar.
I see.
Among your options is Binance, which I don't know anything about.
Yeah, there's all these different exchanges.
Right.
Whether any of them are legitimate
or not,
it's another question.
That's me, but
And I'm reading on this one, $400,000 K hacker makes off with Stellar Lumens.
Yeah, really? All right. Thanks for the information, guys. I really appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay, you're
well. Good luck.
Weekend.
Hope
right,
you make
you
millions.
Too. Take care.
All right, thank
okay,
you.
Bye now. Okay, phone lines are wide open, so, you know, do give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And while we're waiting for some calls, we'll break for 1 minute. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctor Show is also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB, and an RIA. Right now, phone numbers to call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And believe it or not, it's still very easy to get in right now. We're going to go next to Dan in Niagara Falls. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Happy Saturday.
Yeah,
thank
happy
you.
Saturday to you.
Same to you.
Saturday. Yeah. I want to get your opinion on ON.
ON.
See what you guys say. Do you guys know much about this company?
Semiconductor stock, that much okay. I know, right?
I know nothing.
Nothing.
It sounds like...
But I'm a quick learner.
It is a semiconductor.
Who used to always say that? Sergeant somebody?
Schultz.
Sergeant Schultz?
Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, one of my favorite shows.
Talk about sexual abuse.
That guy?
Yeah, he was real wacko. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Okay.
Well, he's
that's
dead,
been going man. On throughout human history.
There you go.
Yeah, let's see now. Boy, is that... I hope you own it.
Well, I just recently got it.
Oh, did you really? Boy. Well, it's exceeded its price objective, right?
Closed at 2504.
And closed at, where to close? At
2504.
Yeah, new high. Holy cow. Boy.
Does it look dangerous to you?
No. As I say, those are the kind of things you should buy. Ones that are hard to buy. You know, everybody buys the stuff that's way down because it's easy for them to buy, you know, because it's a bargain. They don't realize when stuff's way down, most cases there's a reason.
Right. Well, Peter, you have some window open that is chirping something on the...
Oh, really? Is
speaker.
There? Okay, yeah. Let me just see. Where is that anyway?
It's
cryptocurrencies.
There you go.
Okay.
That's better.
Yeah, I was busy investigating something. But anyway, back to something else. All right. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, it's had a heck of a run in here, no question about it. But semiconductors are still a strong area.
It looks like they're starting to pick up again, yeah.
Oh, no question. Yeah, especially, you know, it just made a new high again, right? And as we're always saying, try to buy those stocks or at least have them on your watch list. So if it makes a similar run to the last run, with, you know, what I've said before is a measured move, you know, 7.5 point move up, you know, from, say, 19 or so would be, what, 27 is the next objective on it?
Okay.
So I would look at that as being the next objective, really.
27.
Yeah, analysts are looking at the high is 26, and it just came out in the middle of January, so they're almost there, 24 to 26.
It doesn't mean it's going to, but that's the next area to look for an objective on it anyway,
you know. Well, you know, I've been looking at a few of these. I mean, you know, everybody keeps talking about NVIDIA, and, you know, that one looks okay too. But I just
bought it for a client the other day, just jumped in.
Just bought it?
Yep.
I keep saying this, but I know Peter's like, well, don't worry about that. But
everybody's different, but at some point, the highs, you know, you're buying at the highs. But,
well, it just keeps on making new highs.
But
that's
how many of these, you know, you could have said that to NVIDIA at $50 a share, $60 a share.
I bought it 2 days ago at 225. It's 230. Just keeps on going.
Chart, yeah, I mean, if you look at the chart starting at 2016.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like a stair step, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Kramer named his dog after it, so.
Oh, good grief.
Or something. I don't know. I catch bits
and
pieces.
And if I remember, I mean, I've been playing around with a few other things here right now, but you know, that had been going sideways now for quite a while.
Yeah, a couple months.
Yeah, which is nice.
Well, from November, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you see consolidations, you know, it becomes, you know, theoretically, a more of a concern if you don't see these consolidations on the way up.
Yeah, that's what it did. If you look at the chart,
up.
because then you have these big, you know, gaps. You know, not actual price gaps, but areas that the stock just kept blowing right through. So there's no support. But now this has built up a whole support area. You know,
but they're involved in everything.
Oh, no question about it. You know, and people keep trying to write them off all the time.
Bitcoin, graphics, I mean, they've just got it all.
Yeah. So I would always look at a chart and, you know, at least be in those that look like they were consolidating all the time, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The other one I wanted to get into, but it just got a little too extended, is Arista, ANET.
Mm-hmm.
That one there, I was watching it like a couple weeks ago. It was like it was trading around, you know, around the 240 mark, and then the last 2 weeks it just blew away.
Yep.
And 271, 270, 84, and a close. Unbelievable.
Yeah. How would you play that one?
What was the symbol again?
ANET. Apple, Nancy, Edward, Tom.
Maybe see if it comes back to the 50?
I mean, that's what I mean. If you want to try to buy the pullback, now there's two or three. Some people say never buy breakouts because it'll always come back and retest.
Right.
To a certain percentage of them, just keep going. You know? So what's your strategy? Either you just say, well, I missed it, forget it. Buy half position and then buy the other half of it, retest, you know.
Right.
You know, and that type of thing. So you have to figure out what your strategy is going to be, you know. But you're right. I mean, the breakout was in that 240 by a point and figure chart. It's 248, right?
Uh-huh.
But there's nice, you know, now you have nice support in that, you know, 244, 248 area, you know.
Okay.
So that's what I say. That's what your choice. You say, hey, forget it. I didn't catch it on the breakout, you know.
Well, the other option is, you know, you put an order in maybe around 250, 260, and if it hits, you know, because these things are somewhat volatile.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, they're somewhat volatile. If they have a week couple hours or whatever, you might get it.
Exactly. And that's what another person says. Never, you know, chase it. Always try to get it at a somewhat better price, you know.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes, too, I see that backfire. You know, you say, I want to buy that at 52, and it goes to 52 and an eighth and never sees 52, you know.
Well, you buy it at 52, and it ends up at 42.
Right. So, I mean, you know, there's no easy way.
Easy way to do it.
Have to come up with what your strategy is. And
well, I mean, it basically boils down to you got to control your risk, right?
Exactly. That's what
you always say,
that. How much risk?
10% or whatever, right?
Yeah, how much risk are you willing to take, you know?
Exactly.
And I, you know, in other words, you always want to, you don't want to just pick 10%, you know, because charts are different, you know,
sure.
prices are different. But you want to say, as long as I can see a support that's at 10% or less,
right,
I'm interested, right?
Well, like this one here, clearly you can see it at 240.
Oh, exactly. Yep.
Right.
Exactly. That's what I mean. So, see, a lot of, that's why people, I make a mistake when they say, well, if it drops 10%, I'm out, right?
Yeah.
You know, in other words, go look at what's a reasonable level. And
right.
you know,
where the buyers are
Where the buyers are going to be, you know,
right.
you don't want to be out where the buyers are going
right,
to be, you know,
yeah.
so.
Yeah. I want to ask you, when you guys, when you talk about the bar charts, where do you, are you, can you pick that up through stock charts, Peter? Or
you can
that
do that, or you know what you can do? I mean, I subscribe to, I think, one of the best services, which is TC2000, right?
TC2000.
And I pay $29 a month for that, right?
Okay.
But they let you do all sorts of scanning right off the charts, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, you know, so in other words, for example, I can put all sorts of moving averages, and then I can say scan indicator from chart, and it'll give me... scan all stocks that have broken above their 200-day moving average.
Okay.
So it's a nice platform if you want to pay the $29.99.
And it must be good because I don't know many things that Peter would pay $29.99 a month for. I know a couple, but
so it must be a valuable tool.
Right. But if you don't want to have all the bells and whistles this provides, which you know, which is great, really, all the stuff that it can do, okay, go to freestockcharts.com, okay? Freestockcharts.com. Okay. So it's freestockcharts.com, which is their same service for free, but it doesn't give you all the nice bells and whistles.
Oh, okay.
But it'll give you a nice flair for what the charts look like,
right.
certain amount of indicators, and you could try that out, you know.
Okay. So that's a different site than Stock Charts itself.
Yeah, exactly. This is the Warden Brothers company for TC2000.
So I'm looking at the stock charts, and I don't know. Maybe it's not a tool that's on this particular site.
Well, it is because you can change stock charts and call up a sharp chart, which is the bar chart, right?
Oh, okay. But I'll have to play around with
it. You can play around with that because you just tell them what kind of chart you want. But try freestockcharts.com because it's a lot better. Believe me.
Great, guys. Great talking
okay.
as usual.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Dan.
Have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Right now, you're listening to the Dollar Doctor Show on ESPN 1520 AM out of Buffalo, New York. We're a member of FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB, and an RIA. The RIA means that we are registered investment advisors. Besides being a full-service brokerage account, we can manage your accounts at our firm. Yeah, we have all sorts of different programs based on your risk tolerance. And also, we are able to manage accounts that are held outside the firm, such as your 401k, your 403b.
Yes.
So we do provide those services. We also do have insurance, you know,
yep.
Certain insurance services that we provide. And if you go to our website, saperston.com, that's SAPERSTON.com, you can find out all the services our company does provide. Our contact numbers are there. So if you're interested in any of these services, you're able to give us a call and contact us. Right now, all of the phone lines wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7500. And I will mention, you know, I always talk about Barron's. Barron's had their panel with all of their stock picks, and it was interesting. You know, if you're looking for a watch list of stocks, not to just go buy because it was listed in Barron's, all right?
Right.
But they have a number of their panelists with their different picks out there, and you can go through them and take a look, and whatever approach you use to analyze them, you can do it for yourself. We always say, do your own research. So if you have an approach you use, you can analyze the picks of these different supposedly well-known investment professionals,
mm-hmm.
one of them being Mr. Gunlatch, Jeffrey Gunlatch.
Buffalo boy. Yeah.
Who, by the way, right now, for the fixed income people, loves bank loan stocks.
Me too.
Yeah.
Floating rate.
Floating
same
rate.
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes sense.
And for a while, you know, Barron's had articles a couple months ago. They were very negative on, not he was, but they were very negative.
Well, I think it makes sense because as rates go up, they adjust.
And they also, so a lot of them move heavily based on LIBOR, you know. And if the LIBOR rate's going up, their rates, you know, will go up. And
well, that's the idea of a floating rate.
Well, yeah, but what people didn't realize for a while, if LIBOR wasn't going up or there were certain caps, in other words, until LIBOR got above a certain level, the rates did not go up, okay? So you have to watch what you're in. It's not
because rates were so low.
It's not that simple. No, but in other words, if LIBOR went from a half to 1%, it didn't matter, right?
See, this is what our business does. They make it difficult,
right?
Okay? It's not that difficult. Rates are going up gradually, so you should probably look at something like this.
Exactly. So, but anyway.
Because especially even in tax-exempt funds,
mm-hmm.
you know, if clients that have gotten older, their income's maybe not as much as when they're in their peak working years. And so we've seen a lot of some of the higher and even the highest New York State tax-exempt fund coming down. And to a point that the floating rate, you can do as good with some of these floating rate funds, depending on what the current yields are, you can do as good as what you were currently doing in tax-exempt funds. So it's good to talk to your broker or call us. We'll talk to you about it.
And it was interesting, too. In Barron's, they were very positive. A number of people very positive on junk bonds right now. They mm-hmm. they said the spread between the junk bond and the treasury has come down very low, mm-hmm. and normally is not that low. And usually junk bonds in a very good economy. And I heard the Fed was saying fourth quarter will be 4% GDP. The first quarter will be 3% GDP. So that's the risk good. Of bonds defaulting becomes less and less, right. you know, in the junk bond. So things to think about, you know, and, you know, you can basically.
We always have something for you to think
right.
about.
Okay. I have something that says take this first. So I will take this first. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Frank from Clarence. Good morning.
Hey, morning, guys.
How are you?
Doing well. Better than I deserve. How are you guys?
Right,
okay, I'm glad to hear it for you there. That's for sure.
I'm just blessed to be sitting here next to Peter.
Uh-oh.
I picked up 150 shares of SH. It's the PowerShare short.
Okay.
And I didn't go all in on it. That's about 10% of my portfolio. So I'm looking at not necessarily a correction, but I think with all this, I guess you could say that the government shutdown had me a little worried, but it's almost becoming like normal for them to extend it. But like, what if it doesn't go through, or what if they don't come to some sort of agreement by Monday? I think that will sort of incite maybe enough fear to get things corrected. What do you guys think about that?
Don't think so.
Doesn't look like it.
Doesn't look like
we both, right. both totally disagree.
Yeah.
History shows it doesn't matter. Once again, okay. I go to history, and all government shutdowns have caused no problem whatsoever.
Okay.
Yeah, you just know, something to think about. I mean, if you look at, we talked about the pre-market indicators. That's today, Saturday, the 20th of January at 10 o'clock in the morning. The indicators show up, but that's today, Saturday. But haven't heard much, I haven't heard of people, a lot of hand-wringing. And you talk, I know Mayor Brown this morning said they could go 2 months without it affecting anything in the county. It could affect a couple things. I mean, it's a little bit different than what it was even in 13, that the parks will remain open, the national parks, but the people won't get paid. I don't know if that's efficiencies or not, but the military will exist, but they won't get paid. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, our elected officials will still get paid, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, come on now. You sound cynical, Frank. Come on.
I'm pretty cynical for a 26-year-old.
Yeah, here's what we're talking about.
We're talking about.
Right, we're talking about this.
I don't know.
No, it's good to be cynical.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you decided to protect yourself. That's fine. You know. And whatever, you know, you may turn out to be right. I don't know. Something else
may
come along,
sure.
you know. But,
well, I'm looking at a chart of the Dow or DIA. That's mm-hmm. obviously the ETF that mm-hmm. follows the
right.
Dow. And it just looks like it just popped this week. So we had a nice little week. And then, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm looking at charts that look just like that on, you know, individual securities. And if that happened on an individual security, that's looking like a golf ball ready to tee off to the downside. I mean, it's you're screaming RSI at almost 90, never been that high that I can remember watching. And I'm like, all right, maybe it's time to take a little profit and move into some more conservative position, maybe even make some money on a turnaround.
Yeah, I mean, you have to do what you're comfortable with. I mean, I've heard other people say an RSI of 90 is very bullish, all right?
Because interesting, okay.
Yeah, because so what people don't read, this is an overbought, oversold indicator, which really only works in trading range markets, okay? In markets that are rising, it'll go to very high levels, and all it means is, boy, this is a strong market.
Okay.
Yeah, but you're in a critical point of history as far as your trading history, because you may not see markets like this for another 8-10 years or who knows how long. So you're trying different things. You're using logic and saying, you know, this, you know, the government shut down, so this. That's the same logic sometimes people use in buying utility stocks in this fall, saying it's going to be a cold winter. They're going to go up, not realizing that utility companies hedge when they're using commodities. So, but this is a good experience for you. And you're not, like you said, if it's 10%, you're not going to kill yourself. It doesn't look like it's going to be a disaster, but you may not make that quick hit in it too. Although something could happen this afternoon or tomorrow to make it worse.
Yeah, you may luck out. Yeah.
That's what we
along.
Like. Luck,
right?
Luck is better than anything.
Yeah, I'd rather be lucky than right.
There you go.
Okay. Absolutely.
All of us will agree with that, believe
yes,
me.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys. Talk
yeah,
to
good
you
luck. Call right, again. It was
call
great
again.
Listening
appreciate
to
the
you.
Call.
Appreciate it.
Right, okay, thank you. Okay, right now, phone lines wide open, 800-879-7541 or 803-1520. We're going to go to Frank in Rochester. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Okay.
Good, thank you.
Two Frank in a row, how often does that happen?
Never.
That's what threw me off.
Really?
Yeah, because I was looking at Frank in Rochester, and he says Frank from someplace else. I said, I don't know what's going on. So.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Right.
Anyways, I don't know how many years ago it was, but one of your astute callers recommended BGS Foods, and it was about $9 and change.
Oh,
geez. And it sounded interesting and everything, so I bought 100 shares, and then went up to about 48, 49, and then dropped down to, I don't know, low 40s, high 30s, and now it's been bouncing between, you know, the low 40s somewhere. And I just wondered, you know, what you thought about it going forward from here. I know it still pays a good yield. I think it's like 5.7, which is excellent.
Yeah, it's a good yield, but it doesn't look great.
Yeah, it's closed at 32.55.
Yeah, it's 32.55.
Yeah, it's been going south since December.
Don't forget, the thing hit 51, and it's been going steadily down. Any reason why you didn't want to take a profit when it was up at 50? Or?
Because I have a hard time taking profit.
You're not the only one. The hardest time to sell a stock is when it's up.
I took some profits in the last month, and every time I took a profit, the next day the stock, next week the stock just
yeah, but
off.
See, it's teaching.
Will you call us when you sell so we can buy?
But it's teaching you a bad lesson. There's nothing wrong with taking profits, you know. You're never going to catch the top, you know. Right. And then rather than sell everything, you can always sell half of something, you know. So this thing went from 9 to 50. Why not sell half of it, right?
Right, it's true.
Yeah, because you get bad habits. Like you go, oh, I got stopped out and the thing turned around, so I'm never going to put a stop in again, you know. And it's not the right thing to do. You have to.
And we all do it.
Yeah,
Frank.
We all do it. It's easy to preach,
yeah.
You know. But
no, I know you're right.
But as far as
the stock, I mean, would you like look at getting out of it or holding on to it for a while?
Well, what I would say at this point is that if it broke below, let's see, the low is 29.95, okay? So anything below 29.95, I think I'd be out of it, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, back in early January, Cramer was very hot on the stock and because of its millennial advantage, as he calls it. So that was January 4th and 5th. So,
it does have
a nice dividend, 5.7.
Yeah, lately he's been positive on it, but then prior to that he's been negative on it. So you know he's all hot and cold on.
And let me look.
Go on. I'm sorry.
I was going to look at one other level, you know, and the level. Okay. I mean, if you want to give it a little bit more room, I'd say under 28.83. You know, so it's either that 29. What I just say? I forgot what I just said, but anyway.
29.83?
29.90, you know, somewhere around there, or 28. 83. Yeah.
Right. Well, the other thing, I was listening last week and somebody mentioned, you know, Mazar Robotics.
Yeah.
And then also, it's funny because I did buy some a little while ago and Kramer made that call. You know, it's the next Intuitive Surgical.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a very volatile stock, but
right.
I've also been looking at BOTZ. And somebody mentioned it, and I know you said something positive about it last week.
Right, yeah.
And then I was looking at maybe getting into some, and then, of course, what does it do? It's making new highs all this week.
Oh, exactly, sure, yeah.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So I was wondering, like, what do you think is a good strategy for, like, getting into that, you know, should I wait? Because, again, I hate to chase a stock making new highs.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've always said you should be looking at new highs because that's telling you something, you know. And I would say there's a number of different ways to look at it. And I would say right now, if I looked at the I mean, to tell you the truth, I mean, if you're going to buy a pullback, I mean, the 50-day moving average on this is back at 24, all right, to our 20,
right.
24 and something, 24, 334, really, all right? So you say, well, I'll try to buy a pullback, but is it going to go back that far? So
right.
If you're interested, I mean, what you can always do is take half a position, right?
Right.
And say if it comes back to another price, I'll buy it, and then I've averaged my price, you know.
Right.
The other advantage of BOTZ is at least it's a collection of robotic and artificial intelligence companies, so you're not going to depend on any one company, you know.
That's true.
Whereas right. Mazor can be the greatest in the world, but if anything happens, you know, with a product or whatever, you know, you're subject to much more, you know.
Right. Well, okay, that's a good point. But it does have a very, very minuscule yield too. But at least it has a yield, you know. So that's positive.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have time for one more?
Sure.
Okay. Speaking of marijuana stocks, MYMMF.
MYMMF.
They put the double M in there to screw you up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I can get a chart on it, though. Let me just see.
I read something about a month ago I think it was Warren Buffett's favorite pot stock and stuff.
Warren Buffett's favorite?
That's volatile. That's fake news. Believe me, I don't see any way Warren Buffett's got anything to do with marijuana stocks.
Well, I take those articles with a grain of salt.
Well, you know, if you look at this, it came up from pennies, you know.
Closed at 279.
It closed at 279. All of the marijuana stocks had a big run, and they're all either consolidating or correcting right now.
It's very mellow right now.
So obviously, you got to realize this is a very speculative area, okay?
Right.
And it's not, you know, because it's marijuana, it's just that, yeah, in the long run, some of these companies are going to be big companies, you know, as they legalize marijuana, that type of thing, okay.
Yeah, we should ask Dan about the legalization in Canada.
Yeah, and legalization, you know, so, but it's like the internet stocks back in the 2000, you know, in 2000, how many of those survived in the end, right, you know?
Right.
So you got to realize that, you know. So in mm-hmm. looking at this, it did run up from pennies up to, what'd you say? And actually, it hit
four?
A high around
$4?
$4 or something like that.
Under that.
Then it plunged to like $1.60 or $1.70, right? One day.
Right.
You know, then went back up, you know, and it's been bouncing around. So you do have that risk technically down to that $1.70 area if you're willing to take it, you know. The other thing is, the 50-day moving average is right around 231, and that's what it bounced off. You know, so if you were to play it, I wouldn't want to see it come down under that, you know, 231, you know.
231?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Because then you're at risk down to 175, and that depends on you whether you want to take that risk, you know.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, well, like I said, that one day it was down 70 cents, so if you put in like a limit order for under 230, some 231, and then it's so volatile the way it moves every day, you might be able to be lucky and catch it below 231. I don't know. But,
well,
okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you very much.
All right,
thanks
for calling.
Frank.
Appreciate the call. Thanks. Call again.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Will do. Thank you.
Take care. Okay, I think we have time for at least one or...
7 or 8 more calls.
No, it's actually 10:55, huh? Well, we got time
I'm
for
just
one
saying
more call.
That, then people, you know,
yeah, they'll all rush
to the phone.
There was somebody there, but they dropped off the line.
Time,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're down for the last 3 minutes of the show, and we appreciate
U.S. oil output is expected to surpass Saudi Arabia.
Is it really?
Well, yeah, rivaling Russia for the top spot.
Well, who was that famous person who said, we can never drill our way out of this problem, you know?
Barack Hussein Obama?
Who?
Was it?
Anyway.
I don't know. I truly don't know.
You're right. That's who said it.
Oh, okay. Do I win anything?
We'll give you a Saperstein T-shirt.
Oh, do we have those? No,
we should get them.
There you go.
We ought to get Dollar Doctor T-shirts.
There you go.
There you go.
They'll have your picture right
in
front.
I'm sure at least one person will ask for one.
We can have your picture right in front. Use it for darts.
We'll pass on that. But anyway, I guess we don't really have time for one more call. So we have about 2 minutes left in the show. Markets keep going up. Be careful, trying to interpret the news, unless you're good at it. Once again, if you found over the years that you're very good at interpreting the news and making decisions and judgments on it, more power to you, But in general, I found most people who pay attention to the news make mistakes, and make the wrong decisions and get concerned about the wrong things.
It should be.
It's okay reading
plan.
The news, but reacting to it, no. All that matters, of course, technical analysis, price is the only thing that matters. Price tells you everything, when it really comes down to it. So pay attention. pay attention to what you're in. If it's not
Absolutely.
Acting well,
right.
If it's going up and all of a sudden the market's making right. new highs and your stock's making
so,
new lows,
throughout my
it's telling you something.
Illustrious career, I've talked to people that have had 401ks, and what they'll do is they say, I always see the performance over the last 3 months or 6 months, and I buy those that are doing really good. Historically, that's not the way to do it either. So, but maybe
that's your opinion.
This market.
That's your opinion.
Everybody's got one. Like other things we have.
Well, I mean, if you're buying, if you're buying something that was good in the last 3 months and it's been good for 5 years, that's different. But anyway, we're down to the end of the show. Keep a little powder dry. Do your own research. Thank the callers who did call in. Give us a call next week. Take care.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.